work takes up most of your time. That's why you should use Stamps.com to save time with your mailing and shipping, and have flexibility to focus on more important things. Stamps.com can handle all your mailing and shipping needs with rates up to 88% off USPS and UPS. Add flexibility to your day with Stamps.com. Go to stamps.com/program to sign up for a special offer. No contract, cancel anytime. That's stamps.com/program.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettay along with Charlie Long in studio. Man, we got some super guests tonight. At 4:20, we'll have on with us an old friend of mine, a great success story from the Bayou, Ernest Harvey Jr., owner of Camp Moolah, trains so many of these top athletes that come out of the state in the River Parish and also in the Bayou region. And old Turk has done a super job there, so want to get him on to talk. And he was working with both Amik Robertson and Justin Jefferson, and they were both worked out at Camp Moolah. Man, that's something. And to see those two guys, you know, Sunday night, sort of, they knew one another, and Amik got the best of him. So we'll have a little talk with that. Also, he's worked with Kyron Lacy, so we'll get his thoughts on Kyron. At 5:20, one of our best guests that we have on, Mark Schlereff, our Odyssey NFL insider. At 6 o'clock, you'll have a choice on WWL, the Big 870, be Pelicans Weekly. And at 6:30 will be the Pelicans pregame show, 7 o'clock tip-off, where the Pels play the Minnesota Timberwolves. And Charlie, Zion is available.
He's missed 30 games this year, Mike, in the Pelicans' 7-29 start, but he is back, finally back tonight from that left hamstring strain. And, you know, I know that Will Guillory put this out yesterday that nobody wants to hear it, but he looks really good. It looks like he's taking his rehab process seriously. It's taken him a long time to get back. He hasn't played since November, so he's basically been out for 2 months. But as you said, Mike, he's back. He's making his return tonight, and I'm really excited to see what he does.
Yeah, hopefully he can, you know, make it through and stay healthy. This basketball team needs every bit of luck they can get right now, because it's a bad situation.
Yeah, 7-29 is a gigantic hole. And, like, you can't overstate it.
Yeah, and beating the Wizards twice, man. Okay, Wizards, they in your kind of category.
I think they're now 6-28 or something around there. So yeah, it was the worst team in the West versus the worst team in the East. Yeah. So, but the way the Pelicans did it was pretty interesting. You know, the CJ 50 ball on Friday night, they use offense, they outscore the Wizards 132-120. And then the second game defensively, I mean, it was probably one of the best performances you've seen from the Pelicans defensively in that second game against Washington this season, where they held them under 100 points. But yeah, no, getting Zion back tonight, Mike, like, they're on a 2-game winning streak. The vibes are feeling a lot better. I mean, now that they're off the 11-game losing skid, and getting Zion back is kind of the cherry on top.
And today in the NFL news, there's always going to be news, and it'll continue to be that way. But I think you saw the stroke of Tom Brady today. The Las Vegas Raiders cut loose Antonio Pierce as their head coach. When they hire the next one, it'll be their fifth head coach since 2020.
Oof.
Think of that with the Raiders, the fifth one. And Mark Davis at the owners' meeting made it very clear that I am going to lean on Tom Brady for football advice. And so I think he got the advice. Now, Tom Telesco survives the GM, but Antonio Pierce gets cut loose. And one thing I will say about the Raiders, they played hard for Antonio Pierce.
Yes, they did.
They played hard. They didn't play good, but they played hard for him. And so we'll see, because I do think the Brady influence is there. And I told you this off the air. I know who Tom worked with in the offseason, Shedeur Sanders. And I think when you look back, and I told you the story with Jaden, when I met up with him, Jaden Daniels, and I asked him, were you surprised with the Commanders picking? He said, no, not really. He said, but I knew the Raiders had a lot of interest, you know, toward me. I just didn't think they had enough to get up to the two spot. And remember, Antonio Pierce was at Arizona State the same time Jaden Daniels was. Guarantee you this time, I think Tom and the Raiders make a move up to get Shedeur Sanders.
Well, it's easier to move up from 6-2 than it was 13-2 last year, right? So it makes all the sense in the world. The Titans are in all likelihood going to take Cam Ward with the first overall pick, and the Browns are sitting at number 2, and they still have Deshaun Watson on the books for at least the next 2 years. That's a nightmare scenario in Cleveland. So for me, Mike, and I love our NFL draft talk, and we'll do plenty of it over the next few months. If you're Cleveland, move back from two. Collect you some picks from the Raiders. The Raiders are desperate need of a quarterback, but the team behind them, the Giants, who are picking at three, also in desperate need of a quarterback. If they don't move up to two, the Giants are going to take Shedeur Sanders because, you know, they're bringing back Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, the head coach and GM in New York, which makes no sense to me whatsoever. And I'm sure
I don't get that.
New York sports radio is probably much more on top of this than we are. But
man, it's hot there.
But just look at that team and that franchise and how much in the dumps they are, Mike. And so, you know, that late win against the Colts got them out of the one pick and it dropped them to three, but they're in position to take a quarterback at 103, and it's probably going to be Shedeur Sanders. So if you're the Raiders, and like you mentioned with Tom Brady and his connection with Shedeur, if you really want Shedeur Sanders, you trade up to number two with Cleveland. And if you're Cleveland, you use the quote-unquote quarterback tax to move down from two to six or whatever, and you still get a good player at the 106, but you also pick up some extra assets, and that just makes sense.
Just remember what they gave up, man, to get Deshaun Watson. Man, that was a bucket load.
Yes, it was.
Of draft picks. And so I think they want to try to get younger. And with Watson, good gracious, I've never seen a guy fall from grace that far. And I know injuries got something to do with it, but it looked like more than injuries, to be honest, something between the ears.
Mike, he was the worst quarterback in the NFL when he was playing. And that was before his Achilles snapped. Yeah. And apparently he's had a setback as well. That's been reported in his rehab. So we don't really even know what the timeline for his return to football action is. If you're the Browns, though, I don't think that you prioritize taking Shedeur Sanders over trading back and getting extra assets. That's what I would do.
Yeah, I think that's what they're going
to
do.
And the Raiders are the clear team to move up from six to number two, take Shedeur, and then leapfrog the Giants, who would take him otherwise, because the Giants might be interested in moving up to number two as well. Like, that's an interesting spot for the Browns to be in, because
in the catbird seat.
When you
can't really make a bad move there.
Right, exactly. But when you're the Giants and you're bringing back Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, which, as I mentioned earlier, I don't understand what John Mara is doing, the Mara family, what they're thinking with this decision. But now those two guys, they are on the hottest of seats entering the 2025 season. They need a quarterback. Sorry, it's what they need. And so they're going to be desperate to move up potentially to number two to get one as well. So it's a lot of intrigue early on with how this draft order shaped up, Mike.
And we talk about the Titans, and they cut loose Rand Carthon and was in his second year with the Titans as the GM. And so in the last 2.5 years, they've fired their former GM, John Robinson, Mike Rabel as coach, and now Rand Carthon. So Miss Amy's sister-in-law, who runs the Titans, and she's the daughter of Bud Adams, she's not real patient with things. And I think the sell there was Will Levis is going to be our quarterback of the future. And I think even Miss Amy figured this out. He's not going to be the quarterback for us. And who told me that? Rand Carthon, the GM.
And so here's my little spiel I'll go on before we get to Harvey in just a little bit here, Mike. What are the Titans doing? Like, what are they doing? They run off Mike Vrabel. And, you know, the whole stuff with what happened with John Robinson, their former GM, you know, he didn't want to pay AJ Brown.
Didn't want to pay AJ.
And so they move on.
That's what got him fired.
And that's what got him fired. Correct. Mike Vrabel, you know, wherever he ends up going, he's going to command some, you know, control over player personnel as well. Like, he's not like a coach GM split or anything like that, but he's going to have some say in what the team looks like, what the roster looks like, and the roster building just in general. Now,
I'd be shocked if he did not end up in New England.
It makes
all the sense. He's a former player there. His connections to Robert Kraft, the owner, that would seem to be the perfect tie-in. And I think Kraft would be open to give him more power personnel-wise than he had in Tennessee, which he didn't have a lot of.
Mike Vrabel was an excellent head coach in Tennessee, but there was a rift that started to form between him and the owner.
Him and John Robinson.
And John Robinson, the GM, as well. Now, when Rand Carthon came in, you know, that was another decision as well. Basically, Vrabel, in his 6 years in Tennessee, he got him to 3 straight playoff appearances. The final 2 years didn't go as he expected, but he got inducted into the Patriots Hall of Fame. And Mike, I talked to you about this quote earlier. Sports Illustrated had an article about this. When he was inducted into the Patriots Hall of Fame, as you mentioned, a three-time Super Bowl winner as a linebacker in New England, he said, quote, "I don't want you to take this organization for granted," he said to the Patriots fans. "I've been a lot of places. This is a special place with great leadership, great fans, great direction, and great coaching. Enjoy it. It's not like this everywhere." And Mike,
I think that was the shot over the bow.
Correct. Exactly. That one quote angered the Titans ownership so much that they severed their ties with a good head coach.
All you
got to
anger is one lady, and she was hot about that comment.
And that's like the crazy thing is like, if you're an owner, you can kind of take those words from a legit head coach and maybe do some self-reflecting. But Mike, we've talked about this. You can't tell these billionaires anything.
No.
So they got angry, they fired Vrabel, and now he's the hottest name on the market. Because look at where the Titans are without him, Mike. Case closed.
Yeah, and it's not in really good shape. And they're a football team that's worse off today than they were 2 years ago. And that's really saying something. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870. We'll have on with us Ernest Harvey Jr., owner of Camp Moolah. Turk trains a lot of the athletes that you see on TV in pro football. They started at Camp Moolah. We'll be back with Ernest right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long in studio and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line, the owner of Camp Moolah, Turk, Ernest Harvey Jr. Ernest, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon. Man, I thought about you immediately. I'm watching the game Sunday night, and I'm watching Amik Robinson go up against Justin Jefferson. And then after the game, they interview an Amik. And he has that comment that, hey, you about the dirt. About, you know, I grew up from the dirt.
We'll come from the dirt.
Yeah, you can't bury the dirt. And, man, I thought about you. First time I ever met Amik was at Camp Moolah. First time I ever met him, well, I was at your place. And, man, kind of talk about Amik because, man, he's a guy typical where we grew up, tough, hard-nosed. Now, he's talented. Yeah. But he's not the biggest cat. He's 5'8", and maybe a little change. But, man, he can play. And they gave him an opportunity to play edge corner. And that's a lot different than playing in the nickel. But, man, one thing with him, if you challenge him, he's up for the fight.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Most definitely. First, I want to say I appreciate you for having me on, man. Happy New Year's. I hope everything is good with the fam. But, yeah, man, it was just a challenge, you know. And it's a challenge that we've been waiting for. Well, We talk a lot. I talk to him a whole lot. You know, that's my guy. Been my guy for a long time. So I understand where his heart was in that game. I know exactly what was going to happen. It wasn't nothing that I was worried about. I was confident in him. Just because of the worry that he got in him. He's different. You know what I'm saying? It's football with that guy. That's what he does. He plays football. That's the difference in Amik Robinson and a lot of guys that's in the league. Some guys just in there getting paid, worrying about the money, want to get money. Of course, that's a blessing, but he's a true football player. He takes the crowd serious in the offseason, in the season. So preparation is the best thing that could get you ready for that kind of war. So Jefferson is one of the best guys in the league. You have to take that opportunity serious.
The other thing, too, is throughout the years, you're not a guy that pushes the weights. You more into speed, quickness, football-type moves. And I think you different from a lot of guys. They go to a center, they start lifting weights and everything else. But you more involved with guys in football-related drills that they would do out on the field. I think that's the difference that I've seen in Camp Moolah and in other places that they have here in the South.
Yes, sir. We want to focus on what we need to be doing in the game. That's basically the main thing. We don't want to be doing nothing that's wasting motion. We don't want to do nothing that's wasting steps and have us taking false steps. So we working on feet work. We believe in Chad Johnson philosophy. Good feet get your pace. So we master that. And we definitely master situation and game situations. We want to do breaks that we'll break in the game. We want to do moves that we'll move and use in the game. So we don't want to waste training and being there doing a lot of things that wouldn't get us better for the game. So we focus on the game in my training. Footwork in the game is the most important things for development with me.
Turk, would Amik Robinson be the best athlete you've ever worked with? I don't want to put you on the spot because you've worked with a lot of guys that are in the NFL today. But, man, he was special. And I remember him in high school. He tore up his knee. I mean, he had a lot of schools after him. Tears up the knee, comes back. And then at the last moment, man, Coach O and LSU try to get him. But he had that commitment to Louisiana Tech, and he stuck with it. I remember Texas and Missouri, I think, were two other teams that went after him at that point. But he had given that commitment to Louisiana Tech, and he stuck with it.
Yep. Basically, you know, every kid from Louisiana want to play at LSU, want to play at in Louisiana for the big school. But he was waiting and waiting and waiting. But it just so happened his junior year, he couldn't really camp as much as he wanted to because he had a knee injury and he had a little surgery. So the only camp he could have did was the one that everybody saw that they was posting and sharing on the TVs with him and Jefferson going at it. That was his only camp his junior year. So we took that serious as far as preparing for that. Got to go against Jefferson, and the rest is history.
When you think about the guys from this area and you watching Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson, man, Turk, that's unbelievable. Those guys, what, they less than a half an hour apart growing up? Man, and you think about the NFL, those two guys' names come to mind as soon as you talk about top receivers in this league, and they within a half an hour of one another growing up?
Definitely. Yep, and probably was around each other in the offseason doing certain things. And I didn't answer one of your questions, Mike. I do believe Amik Robinson is the best athlete I ever trained. Of course, Mason Smith is the super freak of the clique, but Amik Robinson is definitely the best athlete I ever trained. I saw him do things that a lot of kids I know a lot of people can do. I know his heart, too. I know how hard he worked. I know what we're doing in the kitchen when nobody's looking.
Only thing, I know how focused he is. Turk, that's the first thing. When you talk to him, you can see, man, he's – because all his life, you know what people have told him? You're too small. Can't play in the NFL. Can't do it. And he's going to show you he can. One of the guys coming out for the draft, and he'll go to the Senior Bowl, Kyron Lacy, and there again, first time I met Kyron, you came bring him to me and said, man, one day this guy's going to be something. And he was more known for being a basketball player at Thibodeau than a football guy, and he really grew into that football position like the last 2 years at Thibodeau High. So tell everybody a little bit about Kyron.
Well, Kyron was a guy that was big into basketball because he got ranked nationally real young. He played AAU on the big-time circuit, so he was one of, I think, the top 10 basketball players in the nation young. So, and another thing is, he didn't really like football like that, I think. When he was in junior high, I watched a lot of his games. He was pouting on the field because he was playing quarterback. So I really, really didn't look at Kyron as a football player when he was young. We was doing training, but we didn't really tap into it like that because he was always on a basketball circuit in the offseason. But eventually in high school, he started taking it a little serious. And, you know, Mikey D, guy got a way of working in mysterious ways, man. So he took basketball away from Kyron for a little while. And he had to sit down and realize that, hey, I really need to focus on what I really need to be doing. And it was football. So we really tapped into football training every day, countless hours at the park getting work. And then eventually, another one come from the dirt, and the flower was braised, you know.
Talk a little bit about Tay Martin, because I've always talked to Tay and say, man, you hold one distinction. Nobody from the Bayou has ever started out his college career at Washington State as a football player. Think about that, Turk. How many guys you know from that area, even from the New Orleans area, that left to go play at Washington State?
At Washington State.
And to think, man, who was walking the halls trying to recruit him? Mike Leach.
Yep. That's crazy, man. Tate, now another one that's a freak athlete, Tatavian Martin, man. He had the option to play basketball and football too. He carried his team all the way to the state championship game as the guy. So he was a superstar basketball player too. But he's blessed. I'm congratulating him right now on his first career touchdown, man. Yep. So that's something to look forward to for him going to the next season. Tate Martin is in the area, and when he's here, he does small training with me too. So he's one of the guys, maybe not as much as my other guys, but Tate Martin is definitely one of the guys. He gets love from the Moolah family anytime he's home. So we definitely rooting for Tate Martin to be in that league for another 15 years if he can, man. Scoring that touchdown in that last game is something for him to
– Man, I was thrilled about that because I saw him with the 49ers. He never really got an opportunity. And then the Titans picked him up because they needed help. You know, they were short of bodies. And, you know, it sort of reminds me a little bit of his college career where at Washington State, you know, he played pretty good. Then he goes to Oklahoma State. Never forget that January 1st game against Notre Dame. Man, he spun that poor cornerback into the ground like he corkscrewed him. And so he didn't get picked. He didn't get picked in the draft, but he ends up a couple years with the 49ers and then now with the Titans. So that's a blessing for Tay. And I know how good of an athlete he is because he won our award in the Bayou region as the best athlete in that particular part of Louisiana, and it was well-deserved.
Yeah, he's a baller, man, for sure. Superstar athlete both ways, basketball, football, blessed. So I'm happy for him. He has a kid. He's a father. So he's leading his family. That's what we're looking for, Mike. He's a great kid.
Last thing about, you talked about Mason, and I sort of expected that he would have the type rookie year he had to get used to the NFL. And as big as he is and as athletic as he is, because, man, you take a look at that guy and you say, that's no way he can move like that. And you watch him. He can move. And I got to talk to a couple of Kansas City Chiefs coaches when they were at the Louisiana Line camp. And it was like, man, you know who really pushed for us to trade up in the draft? It was Andy Reid for Mason Smith. And we just couldn't get enough ammo to get up to get him. But he said, you know, Andy was, man, all I can envision is him and Jones up and that Chris Jones together. Oh, and see, man. Andy was had that in his mind clicking already. But I think Mason in year 2 and 3, you're going to see a different guy than what you saw certainly this year in Jacksonville.
Definitely. He had a few games that he was a healthy scratch this year, too, just because the coaches want him to develop into the monster he can be. Finished the season with 3 sacks. Of course, that's always something to say, hey, I'm here. I've arrived. Now let's look forward to getting 5 and 6 and 10 now. He knows how the game is moving. You know, from college to the NFL, the game is a little faster. Guys are a little stronger. You're playing against the best now, grown men. There's not kids in the NFL. So at the end of the day, he got to get used to all the physicality of the game, too. So now in year 2 and year 3, I think we will see another Mason Smith. Of course, you know, he didn't play too much college ball neither, Mike. So, you know, there's not too much trade off those ties. That kid is going to develop into a monster. I'm looking forward to Mason Smith to be a monster in the league for a long time.
Last question for you. Is there a guy in college today, we talk about Kyron, that you say, man, he trained with me. He's going to play in the NFL. And maybe a lot of people don't know about him, but I think I know where you're going to go with this.
Let me think. A guy that's going to be up next to have a shot to go to the NFL, like in our area right now. Mike, that's your question, right?
Right. Isn't there a guy that played quarterback at one time? He's a return guy? Florida State?
Ja'Kai Douglas right now is getting ready to go to the NFL. He's into the draft. He's in Florida right now preparing for the 40 and learning all of that. His numbers are going to be off the chain. I'm going to let you know that right now, Mike. His numbers are going to be off the chain. He's going to test real good. It's just all about where we land in the draft. Even if he doesn't get landed in the draft, he's going to get a shot at somebody's training camp. And once they see that kid move around, catch that ball, and they see that speed, he's shooting himself out of that gun, they definitely go give him a shot because you can't train speed, Mike. You know that, right?
Hey, the NFL speed never had a bad day. I tell this to Charlie Long.
Speed never had a bad day.
Speed never had a bad day. But the one thing with Ja'Kai, he's the quickest athlete I think I've ever seen on the Bayou. From a quickness standpoint, man, he can go from 1 to 60 in, I mean, snap. He's that quick.
He's a 100-meter guy, and I was misunderstanding your question.
I thought you were talking
about a high school kid.
No.
So when you went to college, oh, yeah, it's definitely Ja'Kai Douglas. And look, Mike, before I got on the phone with you, I was waiting for your call. I just sent Ja'Kai Douglas a message because I saw him posting his 40 training right now. I say, let's go get it, Douglas. So we definitely working on getting Douglas where he needs to be. And I believe that he'll be there. So look forward to him putting on one of those NFL helmets real soon, David, real soon.
Turk, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon. And, man, anybody who's from the Bayou, and it doesn't matter if you're a football player, basketball player, baseball player, they know where Camp Mula is in Houma.
Yes, sir.
And,
yes,
and
sir.
Man, you're a great success story, too. Man, I got to tip the cap to you. You've done a fabulous job.
I appreciate you, Mikey D. Anytime, man. I appreciate y'all all at WWLB.
Thank you so much. Ernest Harvey Jr., owner of Camp Moolah. Man, he got a bunch of guys that have played in the National Football League. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 right after this break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long. And let's go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. We're going to go to Big John in Mid-City. And Big John, I thought about you this morning. It's 20 years today. Buddy DiLiberto passed away. You and I got a lot of connections. And, man, I think about the kid growing up watching Buddy on television. And then I get to work with him. And then all of a sudden, we traveling together, family-wise. We going to different places. And it was almost like the pinch me moment that, you know, this is a guy I grew up watching from the press box and doing his commentaries. And I get to work with him here. He didn't give me my start here in WWL. Hap Gloria actually did. And, man, I'm forever grateful for Hap for that. But, man, I thought about you this morning, realizing it was 20 years today, Buddy D passed on.
It seems like it was just yesterday that I woke up and heard the news. And, you know, Mike, you're right. I was a kid with Buddy. And, you know, I was 12 years old in 1980 when he first put the bag on his head. And, you know, I was in my teenage years and early adult years when, you know, Coach Moore came in. And that was, to say the least, a very interesting dynamic between those two.
Yes, it was.
You know, I don't think many of the members of the Who Dat Nation who are either under 30 years old or hopped on the bandwagon after Sean Payton and Drew Brees came on board, you know, they don't really know or understand just how important Buddy was to the entire New Orleans sports scene and the Saints in general, because, you know, Buddy was a character. He could rub people the wrong way with his attitude. And of course, he had his unique manner of putting syllables and vowels together and speaking. But, you know, he was the voice of many of the fans of the New Orleans Saints because he was a Saints fan himself. I remember reading that, you know, there were other guys that worked for the Times-Picayune and so forth that were sports writers, but they were really fans of other teams. Buddy was a Saints fan to the core.
He
loved the team, and all he ever wanted was the team to be successful. And when it wasn't successful, and, you know, look, hey, he himself would have told you, hey, I was the one that, you know, lobbied for Mike Ditka to come to New Orleans. You know, he didn't have it right all the time, but, man, his heart, when it came to the Saints, I mean, he suffered with us every morning on Monday after a terrible loss. You know, he celebrated. I never forget how I never heard so much ecstasy from somebody after they made the trade for Ricky Williams. And he's yelling out, "That seals the deal. That seals the deal. We got Ricky Williams." And I'm thinking to myself, my God, this guy really, really loves this football team. And he was more angry. I never heard somebody more angry in my life than when Jake Delhomme and the Panthers went to the Super Bowl the year after we let him go because Aaron Brooks was the guy. You know, Mike, I could go on for about an hour and tell you stories about Buddy. But
Big John, I'll clip it. The best story I have with him, and people ask me, and I got a ton of them, but one, you know, every morning he would call me after Mass. And a lot of times during the football season, you realize why he was calling me. Look, I'm looking at Brigham Young, Utah, you know, UCLA, Washington. And, you know, and he's kind of going through the list. And all of a sudden he said, "Mike, hold on a second." And I hear the priest in the background say, "Buddy, are you okay? You need any help?" And he's like, "No, Father, I'm good." He said, "WWL called me. I got to do an early morning show." I said, "Okay." And so, you know, he starts laughing. I said, "Buddy, why you lied to the priest? Why didn't you just tell him you were talking to me about gambling?" He said, "That's why I go to church every morning."
You know, we were all saying that after he passed, that we saying, what were his last words before he passed? He's like, you know, "Bet the exact in the fifth" or something like that. That would have been his favorite last words. And then he would have got to see, you know, what his great picks would have been that day at the track or something. But, man, what a character, an absolute character. And it's because of him that we had the great parade that Bobby put together. Yeah. when we went to the Super Bowl. And I was actually cleaning through my stuff the other day. I found my dress. It's like, oh yeah, there it is.
That's not a small one either, right, Big John?
No.
It was no one or two size there.
No. That was a 5XL easily. You know that whoever that Lizzo or something like that.
Okay, I'm gonna tell you something I did before they closed the casket on him, and I knew he loved it. And every week he'd get the gold sheet. You know, it would come in the mail, and it sort of folded almost like a map. And so I had it in my coat pocket, and I put it in there with him. I figured he needed some time to read, and he had a little bit of time on his hands. So that was the last thing. And Miss Peggy, she still laughs about that. She said, Mike, that's perfect. That's the perfect thing for him to have that goal sheet with him, in those last moments.
Yeah, it was. It was a wonderful, you know, he it's hard for me to express just how loved he was for so many of us. And I mean, it was almost like a Don Rickles thing, is that when he insulted you on the radio because you were being a squirrel, that you almost felt like you were honored. When you think about guys like Abdul, I don't know what he's up to these days. You think about Sid and Jefferson, and you think about the characters. I mean,
Dr. Kevorkian.
Dr. Kevorkian was the greatest, you know. He had a Walter Winchell guy, the voice of prophecy or something like that.
And he had him.
And on and on. Yeah, and it was even more entertaining. I never wanted to have losing seasons, but when we had the losing seasons, it was even more entertaining during that time. So,
Big John, thanks so much for calling. Man, I really appreciate it. And he thought the world of you. And we would talk about you, and I never got to meet you until he passed away. That was the first time we met. That's first time.
That's right.
But he knew you before then. And so, man, I appreciate the call, bud. Thanks so much. We'll be back to finish up here on hour number one of Sports Talk right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Finishes up hour number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870. Mike Dettay along with Charlie Long at 520. Mark Slare from Odyssey, our NFL insider, does a great job breaking down the NFL. We'll get his take on the Saints coaching search. We'll have that and a lot more here on the Big 870 WWL.